Can you hear me?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Who's on this morning?
I'm sorry?
Hey, let me change. Hang on. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you. Rob, we're having some technical issues here ourselves. You're speaking on my cell phone that's in the conference room because we can't get our conference call phone to work properly. I apologize for that, but if we get this thing up and going, we'll log in there. But we're all on. We're all on.
Okay, terrific.
Here, either in the conference room here, we've got six, seven of us, and then several of the sales assistants are on the phone.
All right, terrific. Can you hear me clearly?
I can, yes.
Yes.
Okay, terrific. All right, good. All right.
Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm dialed in.
Great, great, great. Thanks.
Yep.
That's very clear. Okay, terrific. So, good morning, and what's on your mind?
Well, what's next?
Well, how was the week, and how did you do with your homework?
I mean, I think we did all right. And by the way, I'm going to move this along a little bit because Scott and David have a hard out here in about 20 minutes or half an hour. So, we did okay. We've been a little bit behind. I thought, well, maybe I have been a little bit behind in sort of redlining our account list. But we're doing that right now to just have that hard 100. It sounds like I'm the one that's the who's the most behind in that, but I will resolve that. I will resolve that as quickly as possible here. We've given some thought to COI stuff, given some thought to niches. We're still working on it. I think from the organization standpoint, we're buying what you're selling because we've been doing a lot of that kind of stuff already. So that's not as big an issue for us in terms of buying
Hello.
Into that.
Please enter exit conference code.
Anything else, John?
No. I think we're struggling a little bit of how to define this. Like, what does that all mean? We don't have a.
Okay, can you hear us all right? We just switched tones.
Yes. Okay, I can hear you fine.
Correct.
There you
go.
Go. Okay.
I think one of the struggles we're all having is defining our niche. We have several ideas. They're pretty broad niches. We don't have natural niches that we've developed over time. We're sort of general practitioners. So I guess defining niches has been a little bit of a struggle.
But if that's a great opportunity. I mean, that's the, I mean, that's, you know, it's the bad news, but good news. Good news is, you know, with this group and this number of people, you've got to have some great opportunities. So, you know, that's all I can. And that's what we'll have some fun, you know, trying to identify those. And were you able to go through the top 20 clients each to determine where they came from?
Oh, yeah. We did that 2 weeks ago.
Okay, and so what was that? What came out of that?
Well, I mean, we all
a
did.
Lack of a trend. It was all different.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were some more trends than others, but you're right. We have not ever really been focused on specific niches, right? And as a result, we've shotgunned a lot of things, and so our people come from all over the place. So we could benefit from refining that, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, Something is definitely working, right? I mean, you're a very successful team. So, what we want to do is do a little more forensic to try and figure out what is working. You know, where did the clients come from? Is it centers of influence? Is it niche, you know, some, I mean, you didn't inherit the money, right? So it came from somewhere.
Yeah, we've gone through that exercise. I mean, we've quantified it. I think I went through my, we even went much deeper than 20, right? We did find some commonalities there. So I guess we should work to exploit those.
So you want to share with me something here?
Yeah, so there's a couple organizations that we've done a decent amount of work with. There's a couple attorneys that have been great sources of influence for referrals, a couple accountants as well, a couple workers within businesses that have opened doors for us as well. So, we have all of that referral tree stuff. We all did that about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, one of the things we'll get into is sharing that. So here's the advantage, okay? I've talked to thousands of financial advisors. I've coached lots and lots of people through this process. So once we get to that and you want to share that, that's where I can be of some help, and that's where the fun comes in, because that's where we, you know, that's where we can see things that, you know, each of us see things that others don't see. And
that sounds great. Why don't we put that on our list to talk about next week with you? How about that?
Yes. Yeah, that would be good. Okay, that's great. All right. This week is the first week of organization. So even though you've been organizing, building your folders, and, you know, getting a jump on the whole process, this is the week that we officially leave segmentation and move into organization. Again, we're, you know, like the three swimmers down the pool, we're working constantly on segmentation, organization, and acquisition, but less emphasis on one versus the other. So anything about the folder system or the process that has you confounded, or is it fairly straightforward and you're okay with it?
Well, you know, I haven't seen what, like, your prototype folder kind of looks like.
Here, I got one.
Yeah, David's got one.
I wasn't sure. How many folders do we have for clients? I was a little confused.
So you have one for you, and one goes to the client.
Okay.
Okay. So it's pretty simple, straightforward. We used to give the client a smaller folder, and what we found is that the folder should be virtually identical, just with different information, you know, information about you and your team and in the client, we call it the mini-me folder. And in your folder, it's obviously information about the client, so you just kind of reverse things. The key thing is to use the folder as a marketing tool. Use the folder as a way of advertising what it is that you do. Because what you're going to do is a lot of work. And if you don't market it, you're not going to get credit for it. And therefore, it will be a wasted effort in terms of leveraging your brand. So you want to make a big deal out of the folder, make a big deal out of the change, and make your clients know that this is something dramatically different than what we've done in the past, even though you may have been exceptional at calling clients even every month. But what we find is that we don't want to, in this case, give anonymously. We want to share the news with them, and then use the folders with our centers of influence and our best clients, so that they will see that there is a lot of work going into this and that you're very serious about these meetings. And they know that, but they know it, you know, twice a year or something. We want to make every interaction an important interaction. And that's probably the biggest difference between what we did when we started and what we do today.
Okay.
We've taken the meetings and made them into, like, monthly board of directors meetings with an agenda and then an executive summary. And it just quantifies the work that we put into each of our client relationships and then makes the client fully engaged in the relationship. rather than, yeah, you take care of it. Thanks very much. Whatever you do, go ahead and do it. We don't want that relationship. We want them to be the chief executive officer and we're the chief financial officer. And we're making joint decisions on everything. We're their advisor. We're not running the business for them. That's really important because otherwise they won't value what we do. So think of it as they hired you to be a family office group. And what would you do if someone with, you know, if you had a family office group and your minimum was, let's say, $200 million, you know, what would your commitment be to them in terms of service? How often would you talk to the head of the family? That's what we're doing. We're kind of duplicating that model without charging them $2 million for it.
Okay.
Right. And that's the way you can, you know, to me, that's the way we justify our fees. You know, somebody says, well, you know, why should I pay you $70,000? And I say, well, if you're, you know, theoretically, you have enough money to start a family office group or close to it. And in order to do that, you'd have to pay me at least $1 million and probably cost you another $500,000 to $1 million to run the money. So, you know, family office costs anywhere, you know, typically $1 million to $2 million to run it, and I'm going to charge you $70,000. So I think it's a pretty good deal.
So Rob, do you guys have, like, I know in the coaching guide you have information about what's to be in the folder. Do you guys have, like, a Word template or something that it would be, that, so we wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel? We could fill it in, and, you know what I mean, so it would be standardized?
Did we talk about this last week and I sent it to you, or is that?
No.
Lori sends it to you either in the first week or the second week of the, it's part of the enclosure. You know when you get an email from Lori?
Yeah.
There's an enclosure and it has a copy. It has the, you get the workbook, you get a folder. It's part of the template. Because I asked about this to have it sent to some, it was you guys or somebody else, and Cindy says, sure, I'll send it again, but it's included all the time when Lori sends out the email.
You know what? For just the ease of everybody, would you mind just having her flip that again?
Yeah, no easy problem. Yeah.
Just that particular
just that
thing. Yeah, so that would be great. All right. Sounds
okay.
Good.
Rob, I have a question for you regarding the folder. So does the folder change on a monthly basis? Does it continue to grow with the previous month's documents? Does that get placed in a permanent file? I'm just kind of wondering.
Right.
You mentioned,
good question.
It does replace, like, a permanent file that you might already have for the client, but this is what's on your desk.
Right, and you want to keep this pretty skinny. You know, I keep, you know, for you guys, I keep every week the notes of our meeting. So to me, I keep probably the notes from each of your monthly calls in there. I keep a few, you know, I keep the current agenda, maybe the previous agenda, and then I clean it up.
Okay.
So periodically, just clean it up. You want this to be skinny and, you know, really user-friendly. If you're going to send an item that you're going to discuss, like long-term care, and you want it in the folder for that week, that's great, but then take it out and throw it away after that. So whatever topic you're going to discuss, you might have in the folder for that month, but then get it out of there.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank
you.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Yeah.
What's next?
Questions on the folder?
No. No, I think we're good. Again, you could just have her flip that out again today. That'd be
all right.
Great.
Roger. Okay. I mean, we discussed the inverted pyramid in this chapter, which is pretty straightforward. It basically means that instead of running and making the appointments ourselves, we're turning the whole practice over to our trusted advisor, our trusted administrator, our CSA, CA. you talk about developing centers of influence. If you have centers of influence, you want to read about this and think about adjusting your relationship so that if someone's giving you introductions, the 80-20 rule says if we spend more time with them and we give them better service, they'll give us even more introductions. So the idea is we want to give them, we want to become a connector. So we want to give them more introductions and spend more time with them, and therefore they'll give us more introductions and spend more time, you know, and we'll value the time that you're spending with them. So that's the idea.
On we're working on centers of influence. We've got this great person that they just don't give referrals. Or how long do you stay at giving them stuff before you go to someone else? Have you found case by case?
Yeah, but here's what we do. We change the relationship. Instead of it being us giving them a few introductions, they're not really knowing who we are. Use this opportunity to reintroduce yourselves. Have a serious meeting, and then if you read the 5 steps that I put into Chapter 5, it's how to build a center of influence that's a lasting relationship where it's reciprocating. Now, the key is to get people that are givers, that understand the value of what you do. But they won't understand it unless you show them. Okay, why you're different. So you've got to kind of reintroduce yourselves. So my suggestion is, and this was an FA's idea, not mine. He said, Rob, before I ever bring a center of influence into my practice, I visit them. And I want to know everybody that's going to touch one of our clients. And that's a very powerful statement. I want to know everybody that's going to touch one of our clients. That says we value our relationships. And to the CPA or attorney, that's going to say, this guy gets it. He knows that when I refer somebody to him, I'm risking my practice with that, my relationship with that client. So therefore, when you take great care to be sure that I'm doing the right thing, then clearly you're going to take great care to take care of the people that I refer to you.
Rob, what about...
So, go ahead.
When you were talking about reintroducing ourselves, is that including using that as an opportunity to market this whole new thing that we're doing right now to those people?
Absolutely. That's the key. You want to tell them exactly the same speech that you give to a client, you give to the center of influence. And tell them exactly what you did. We had a problem. We had too many clients. We hired a consultant. We went through this process of self-examination. And what we discovered was that the level of service was not consistent enough. So we've implemented a new model. And the new model is the following. Every single client gets a financial plan with full implementation of that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments, 4 reviews of the plan, 2 of them in person, and then rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? And then they'll always go, wow, that's amazing. How are you going to be able to do that? Because we're going to each have less than 100 clients. Okay, that's impressive enough. But if you let's say that you did that, and then you say, I'd like to meet and talk about this. And at that meeting, you hand them a folder. And this is their center of influence folder. This is for your monthly meeting with them about your joint business relationship. Okay? That this isn't going to be a casual thing, that we're in business together as of you're agreeing to this. And I'm going to help you, and you're going to help me. We're going to be in this together. And at that meeting, you request an appointment with their team. And you go in and you want to find out the same things that I'm trying to find out about you guys. Okay?
Rob, can we interrupt real quick? Dave Metz has a question here.
Well, Rob, I was thinking from a point of view, if I'm making referrals to someone else and they just told me that they capped their clientele at 100 clients, that means to me that they're constantly getting rid of clients. And what does that tell me as a referral source? I wouldn't want to refer someone to a person that's constantly getting rid of the people I'm referring them to.
Can we leave, as part of that conversation with COIs, do we leave out the whole idea of a cap that we're doing as a team and maybe just talk about our qualified, what we look to for qualified clients? Not say, we're doing this process and we're capping and we're shedding clients. COI's not going to want to hear. They're going to be like, wait, so you're going to take my client, and then eventually they're going to be like up over and out.
They don't always know all the assets that the client had. Now that has to be a consideration.
Maybe we just leave that out of the conversation, that part of it. Yeah. Just talk about our qualified clients that we work with. That's who qualifies.
Okay, guys. Yeah, you're looking at it from the wrong perspective, okay? You're thinking about the clients that you're getting rid of, okay? I want you to think about the clients that you're keeping, okay? And what that sounds like to the center of influence, okay? If I refer somebody to you and they're qualified, this is what they're going to get, okay? What it makes you sound exclusive, which makes you sound more attractive, not less attractive. Okay?
So it's important to define what referral.
Yeah.
This is the referral level we're looking for.
Right, and you don't give them your minimum, you give them your target minimum.
Right, right.
Okay? Now remember, and anyway, what we're going to get into is this mentality of abundance, not scarcity, okay? Even though we'll have 100 clients or 90 clients or 80 clients, our team will, in our company, will be able to serve you, right? So we don't say no to clients that don't meet our minimum. We say no to our team, but we say yes to the introduction so that we can give it to somebody that's more suitable for us. So think of yourself as a law firm. We're all working together as an office to take care of clients with different minimums. And you just explain that to the client and make it very clear.
I guess what we're getting at, Rob, is that it seems sort of counterproductive to give. Look, our pitch to COIs across the board has always been, they know what we do, and this will better articulate the quality of service that we do and hopefully bring people to the fact that this is ideal for clients with, million five and up. That's our target, right? So, but at the same time, our pitch has always been, look, we'll talk to anybody you think would benefit from this level of service. If it makes sense for them to work with us, great. If not, they will leave a conference call with us or a meeting with us in a better spot. So we've given ourselves the out to push them a different direction without worrying about offending the COI. You follow me?
Sure. And I would always, to me, hey, look, I come to you guys, right, because this guy highly recommended you. If you refer me then to someone that you think would be better suited, this is just a referral chain. That's great. I'm very happy. The center of influence is happy. Everybody's happy. I wouldn't let anybody just walk out the door. I would introduce them to someone else, and they choose not to go with that person. That's their choice. But you don't want to let somebody hang, that's been referred to you by a center of influence.
The idea
is that the center of influence will be pleased regardless of what happens. That's the idea.
That's right.
Including a follow-up with the COI and a thank you.
Of course. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Sure. All right, so we're on the same wavelength here. All right, next item.
Yeah, there's a really important breakthrough that we made, and that is this idea of the enthusiastically endorsed list of professionals in their community. Okay? And this is different than just centers of influence. This is everyone that is the top person in their particular niche or area of expertise. Okay? And so what you want to do is you want to ask the question of all your clients about various professions, starting with the ones that are the most obvious and then more working towards the ones that are more unique. So the first questions you'll ask your own clients are, oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, your attorney? And you will get one of three answers, positive, negative, or neutral. When you get a positive and you don't know them, that's an opportunity. Right? When you get multiple clients endorsing the same professional, that's a huge opportunity. I mean, enthusiastically endorsing them. Most of the time they're going to say, he's fine, he's okay. And sometimes they're going to say, you know, I've outgrown him, I need somebody new. So the question gives you tremendous opportunities for conversation beyond that. Now keep in mind, you can ask this question about anyone. I mean, to anyone. Right? You can go to a neighbor and say, oh, by the way, you know, we're looking for a new CPA. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Right? So it isn't limited to the 90 people or 100 people that you are serving. You could ask this question of anyone. And so, reverse that now, because this is where, you know, CPAs or attorneys, especially estate planning attorneys, always say, you know, I just don't get anybody because they're all come from FAs, you know. You can reverse it by simply teaching them this enthusiastically endorsed model, which is, oh, by the way, ask this question, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And they're going to come up with one of three answers, positive, negative, or neutral. And when it's positive, send them to me. When it's negative, I mean, when it's positive, it's fine, nothing. When it's neutral, it's fine. But when it's negative, you can send them to me. So that's a door opener for you. And it's a way of turning that CPA or attorney that's never given you any business into, I mean, if they're serious and they ask the question, they're going, you know, you ask 100 people that, they're going to have 10 of them that want to change and will end up with introductions. Now, you'll learn that we don't want a name and we don't want a phone number. We want an introduction. And we want an introduction in person first. We want an introduction on the phone second, and we want an introduction by email third. But we don't want a name and a number, okay? Because, you know how that goes. It takes a year, and you never contact the guy, or he never calls you. Or, I've given this guy your name. You know, that ends up, you know, how many of those work out. So we want to control the situation. We'll get into that, and I'll show you how to do that better. But the idea is that this is a really big idea for you guys. This can make a big change. You know, we talked about the 5-star model. You want to use the 5-star model to introduce yourselves to CPAs. So once you visit their office and find out their minimums and what they want, then you introduce them to your team through the 5-star model and show them what you do and how you do it, and then make it clear what you want. And then you, the third meeting is you meet with them and teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. So the first meeting is to get the okay to this new relationship. At that meeting, you give them the folder, you teach them what you're going to do. It's going to be a monthly call together, or a monthly meeting. We call it a Starbucks. The second meeting is in their shop. The third meeting is in your shop. The fourth meeting is the enthusiastically endorsed model. And as you guys know, these relationships take years to build. And so to engage in this five-meeting process is not crazy, because you're really making a friend. And how long does it take you typically to make a new good friend? It could take you years. So that's the key. I mean, that's why I say you want to reintroduce yourselves to these centers of influence. And this week's focus is to understand the value of building these long-term relationships. And you guys, I mean, half the people I call, I work with, don't have centers of influence. And you'd be like, that's crazy. You have great ones, right? Well, other people are like, what do you mean they don't have niches? That's how we build our whole business, is through niches. So, you know, everybody's different. Everybody's got these breakthroughs. Everybody builds it differently. But what you want to do is say, okay, let's become world-class at this, at developing these centers of influence and cementing those relationships, so that instead of getting one or two introductions a year, we get eight of them. I mean, then you don't need another center of influence. You've leveraged the ones you already have and making them more prolific. Questions?
Nope. Questions, guy? Nope. Dan? Nope.
All right, so here's the game, guys. You don't have enough questions, okay? So I want you to do more reading. I want you to do more homework. I want you to work harder on these each of these weeks. I want you to listen to the video. I want you to meet together, and I want you to have questions for me. Okay? If you don't have questions, you're not studying hard enough. Okay? That's the reality. This stuff is not easy. And if you're not working hard enough, you're not going to get enough out of this. Okay? We can get it done in a half an hour, and you can move on in your life, and everything's good. But if you want to get the most out of this session, you'll use me, and you'll use me effectively. Okay? So do your homework and have questions. If you don't have questions, you haven't done your homework. Okay?
Got it. Yeah, so the challenges that we're working through still are the scheduling stuff. And I guess we're going to have to try to come up with a template for these folders. We just got the folders here very, very recently, within the last day or so, I think. So we're going to try to work out exactly how to format and put together something like that and start to test drive it with customers. So I think part of the reason that we don't have a lot of questions is a lot of this stuff is sort of just a rethinking of a lot of the stuff, Rob, to be honest with you, we already do.
We have a folder for every meeting, and like we have all the last conversations that we have. We have an agenda. We keep track of all their centers of influence, and like we already bring all that stuff to like our appointments each time. But to your point, maybe we don't define it as much to the client, and maybe we haven't laid it out, or as you said, marketed it as specifically as maybe we should, which I think makes sense. But I think that's what we're trying to think through, is how do we modify what we're doing to sync up with what you're doing. And I think that's really more where our process is. I'm not sure you've said a lot of stuff that we've just been necessarily completely sideswiped by, other than the consistency of the phone calls. But I think it's a lot of it's us talking internally about how do we get more in line with your exact process than ours.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, every page in the folder has a purpose.
Okay?
She's going to email it to template, yeah.
So every page has a purpose, right? And what you want to do is, I mean, you want to go through and look at each page and say, basically, is our page that covers this idea better than Rob's page? If it is, why? Okay. And then why do we have this introductions given and introductions received page? What's that for? Well, I'll explain it. But if you haven't even looked at it and you don't know what I'm talking about, then it doesn't work. Okay.
Yeah, so then I can't be of help. For our homework this week, it's to put together some of these folders, because we have to do that. So if you could get Lori or Kirsten or whoever to
get to us, do that.
We'll make sure it's done.
Right. And then be an expert on the folder when we call, because I want to have, when everything is great, that means you guys aren't, you're giving me no pushback, okay? And to me, I've got an issue with that. I want some pushback. I want to say, why do you have this? Why do you do that? Why do you have 5 meetings with the center of influence? That seems too many. Okay? That's what I want. I don't want you to be, irascible. I just want good questions and challenge the model so that you understand why we've got each piece put together in the order that it is. Because there's a lot of work. There's 12 years worth of work that goes into this. And we've thought through every single tiny piece. So what I'm saying is you've got to understand it or you're not going to use it. You're just going to blow it off. Okay? You're going to use what you're already using.
Here's a challenge for you. You want to push back. I talked with a customer with $8.5 million with us and promoted this program a week and a half ago. And he said, Dave, I'm not going to talk to you every month. He goes, I don't need to talk to you every month. He was the CFO of his family business. He knows. He touches it constantly. And I said, look, all we're trying to do is memorialize and keep things much more organized. And he said, if I want more contact, I'll let you know. You don't need to call me like this. And so I've approached it 2 different ways with him, but at the same time, if I'm getting pushback from a customer that pays us $50,000 a year, I have to be very thoughtful about the way I'm presenting myself, because he's already a great customer, likes what I do, likes what we do, what we offer as a team. So give me some thoughts for that sort of pushback. I mean, pushback of by far the super ideal customer that decides, that says that they don't want what I'm selling.
Right. You're going to get that from 10% of your clients. 10% are going to say, for one reason or another, I don't want to talk to you every month. Okay? Now, think about that. This does not sound like a yellow light, okay? But when you get that conversation, we consider that a yellow light. Not a red light. It's not a big problem. It's a yellow light. It means they don't want to talk to us. There's something wrong, okay? They don't value us enough, maybe.
So here's my workaround,
maybe
Rob.
You tell me
if I'm barking up the right tree here. So I said to myself, okay. Well, I do talk to this guy once a month, by the way. Right? He doesn't but I do.
Right.
So I said to myself, well, okay, I'm going to implement 12-4-2 with him, and he's just not going to know that I'm doing it. He's going to feel it, but I'm not going to say my sales assistant's going to call you and set up the next 3 months of appointments. What I'm going to do, and I did it with him actually, is we made a decision to make some sales and move around some things, and I said I'm going to call you on December 21st to review this 31 days forward. So I did the 30-day reschedule without him, in that same meeting, by the way, a little bit later.
Right.
without him really realizing that I was doing. So that's the approach that I've chosen to take with him, where I'm going to implement it. It's just not going to be, look, here's what we're doing it. You know what I mean?
That's brilliant. Okay, that's exactly right. You might even go ahead and send him an agenda. Say, this is just an agenda for this meeting, okay?
Right.
And see if he likes it. And then send him an executive summary of what you agreed to, okay?
So we do agendas for all of our meetings already. I think the executive summary is a great idea that we don't do. And we can absolutely learn from that. So in terms of just memorializing what's agreed upon. So that's certainly something that we can do. So
Okay. So that was an example of a very good question. Okay? I need those questions or we can't get into issues, right? I mean, you've got to give me the questions, guys. Okay? Or I can't help you. I mean, I'm just going to, you don't want me to get on here and recite what you should have heard in the video and what's in the workbook. You want me to help you talk through issues that are challenging. When I get this objection, what do I say? When I get this, what do I do? Okay? So let's just be a little more interactive and you'll use me better. I mean, you're paying me. You might as well use my brain rather than just go through an agenda. That's kind of silly. We're all adults here.
All okay. Right. Any other thoughts, guys? Rob, questions? Craig?
My next week will be to have a physical folder set the way he wants it to be.
Yeah.
So we can look at it and chew on it and see what it is.
Yeah, and I would like to have a dialogue as part of next week's meeting, Rob, with you, to just talk through the folder specifically. We're going to find, I think, that we're already doing a significant amount of it, but I think we can absolutely learn from this. I think reemphasizing at meetings the source of referrals, I think, is a powerful thing. I actually started doing that with customers over the last month or so, just saying, well, do you know how I got to know you? And that sort of thing. I was doing it on Friday with somebody, and it was a great discussion. So,
Right. So, here's the key, right? For you guys that are doing really well already, okay, you've got great systems and processes and life's good. One little breakthrough, like executive summary, is huge, right? That's a huge thing. I mean, for other people, it's like, wow, this is all big change and I don't see the value of all this. But if you're already doing an agenda, then you say, wow, an executive summary, that's as good as the agenda, and I know how much our clients love the agenda. So that's a breakthrough. This introduction is given and received in the folder. I'll show you how it works and why it's such a good idea. But it exactly goes along with that, Dave. It's exactly that idea.
Would you be able to have them email along a sample agenda and a sample executive summary?
That is in the workbook, but I'd rather discuss it. But I can do that. It's just they're in there. There's some samples in the workbook, okay? But it's really not that complicated. I mean, you're going to have let's talk through it next week, okay? You're using an agenda already.
Yeah.
An executive summary would be just a complete. What it would be, here's one of the challenges that you guys have, is getting compliance from your clients. Getting your clients to do what they say they're going to do, right? The executive summary will help you do that. So you've got in there what we agreed to and who's going to do it by when, right? So in this case, we agreed to these following transactions or whatever we did, right? This is what we agreed to. And you agreed to meet with your estate planning attorney, and this is the date you said you were going to have the meeting. I said I would do this, and this is when, by what date. The more you can pin it down, the more compliance you'll get, and the more the client will see, just like on a board of directors, it's the minutes from the board meeting, and it will hold them accountable to that. And they're used to that, especially if they're a CEO or CFO or they've got some responsibilities. Most of your clients have been on boards. They've been on charity boards. So they get this, and they like it, because they want to perform for you, and you clearly want to perform for them. So that's why this will help. Okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Look forward to next week. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.